What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, December 14th, 2017. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Widow Wonderkind, Gary Widow.
Widow Thursday.
Yeah, Widow Thursday. It doesn't roll off the tongue.
No.
A lot of people were mad at you for, you know, being a diva and not coming in yesterday, shaking up the schedule. Some people
you
called
asked
out the questions.
Me to come in. You shook it up.
That's neither here nor there. I'm just saying what the question
I
said.
I just do what I'm told. You told me to come in on Thursday, so here I am.
Well, thank you for coming in on Thursday.
I wish I'd have worn my Christmas sweater.
Yeah,
because I feel very like next to this is like, as Christmassy as it gets.
Yeah, I got my cup.
You got your snowman cup, your Santa hat.
Yeah.
And it looks like a good one as well, not like one of those shitty ones you get from the drugstore. But like
that's where it came from.
Oh, it was?
Walgreens, I believe, right,
you got it from Walgreens?
I think we sent somebody down to Walgreens. Kevin's shaking his head no.
I don't think so.
No, I thought that's where we sent Cool Greg for
it. Top quality.
Wait, you know what? No, yeah.
Yeah, we did get it. Yeah, all right.
Cool. Sony, you got the whole, still PSX, pimping the Sony?
Well, I mean, I bought this thing. I got it like at PSX.
Did you get that at PSX? They were selling those?
Oh, yeah. They doubled down on it. They were smart about it.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of
it looks good.
Thank you very much. Are you ready for the holidays?
Very much so.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been kind of, you know, halfway checked out since the beginning of December.
Yeah.
You know how it's like, you get senioritis towards the end of the year, like you started for Christmassy.
Yeah.
It's harder and harder to focus on work. So when do you guys stop
tomorrow,
for the year?
Tomorrow's the last day. End of day is the end of Kinda Funny for the year.
So oh, no more
still be
no
Game
more,
Over Greggy Show, Kinda Funny Games Cast, Party Modes.
No more premium content.
No, the premium stuff's still going. It's okay. This where we just go, bah, here's what's happening today. We read off page. That stuff's not happening.
Okay.
No Games Daily, no morning show until we come back in January.
So what do you get? What will you continue to do?
Game Over Greggy Show,
right?
Kinda Funny Games Cast, Party Mode.
Oh, wow. So you do go all through the season.
Oh, yeah. There's content. We've backlogged it all. Some good Party Modes, too. Game Over Greggy Show is good as well.
Did you play that Doomsday heist thing?
No, not yet.
Because I'm excited about
that. We just started getting into GTA Online on party modes, and everybody likes it a lot, and I am excited
to
do
feel like
more.
Doomsday heist might be the thing, because every time they drop one of these new modes, I'm like, oh, shit, I got to get in on that. But then like I never get around to it.
Sure.
But Doomsday heist looks awesome. Yeah. That might be the game.
Or have you played GTA Online?
No.
Oh, you got to get in with us then. Yeah, because we just started again. Like, Andy's played before, but me, Nick, and Tim all just started characters for the party.
And I have it on PS4, too, so I can actually play with you guys.
Perfect. Look at that. Let's get some practice just in. Get some money. Get the cool cars. Figure out how to play.
What would you so, for someone who has played GTA Online, talking to me, someone who hasn't, how would you recommend I get my feet wet?
I mean, you just got to get in there.
Just get
I still
in
have
there.
To do it, too. I have to do more work.
In any particular... I'm kind of, at this point, kind of overwhelmed by all the different modes that are available.
Exactly. That's the problem. But that's the thing is, I don't know either. I jumped in there. I started.
The fun is just like
they have the Batmobile. I was like, I want the Batmobile. The Batmobile is a bunch of money. I'm like, I'll just give you the money. I went to buy the money on the store. It's like $99. I'm like, you don't get that money.
That's a lot.
You don't get that money. I'll play the fucking game. I'll get the money that way.
Yeah.
So I need to go through and do. I have to do heists and jobs and all that stuff. Kevin wants to play too.
We should play heist together.
That's what I'm saying.
Let me know when you're going to play next, and I'll jump on.
All right,
that
cool.
sounds good.
Are you here all break?
Yeah. All Christmas at home. We do a 3-year. Circuit. One year we go to my in-laws family on the East Coast.
Yeah.
And then phase two, they come here to us.
Oh, okay.
And on phase two, everyone just stays home.
Okay.
And we just and we're in the everyone stays home year, which is my favorite.
Yeah, of course that's anymore. The best year. Yeah. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
What about England? You ever go back to England?
No.
No.
I don't know anyone there anymore. My parents emigrated. They went abroad.
Yeah.
And I still have friends in England, but like I have people I haven't spoken to in a long time. If I went back to England now at this point, I'd essentially be starting over. No. And who would want to go back to England now, right? As it's about to fall into a fucking ocean of
are they in bad
poverty
trouble
and despair.
Oh, I thought this was going to be a jab at America with the net neutrality stuff today.
No, no, no. Whereas, I mean, there's plenty of jabs there as well, but England right now is Britain. Right.
Also
not,
in best
it's not looking
where,
good.
Where do we go when this country fails? I thought England, is it just Canada? Is that all we got left?
Well, that's why I worry, because I look at the situation, I don't want to get too political, but you know, I look at what's happening in America, and I'm like, oh, well, I've still got that British passport, but even that is looking like it's not going to be worth the paper it's printed on for much longer. Nowhere for me to go. What are we going to do, Greg?
I guess we got to fix it here. We got
to
fix it here.
Gregtopia. We need to, you know,
Gregtopia
some kind of rapture or Columbia or something.
Sure, sure.
Floating city in the, not in the clouds, but in the cloud, in the internet cloud.
Oh, just in the internet cloud.
We'll just all live in the internet.
Okay.
But again, we can't even, they fucked us there as well today. Can't even go there anymore.
No, I've started kicking around separate plans, right? If people start, you know, like, hey, we can't consume the content as much, maybe we start putting all our content on DVDs and you get a monthly box from Kinda Funny with all the shows you missed.
Maybe Blockbuster's going to come back.
That's the terrifying thing.
We were
thing.
Just joking about it the other week.
I was thinking
maybe
about
now
today.
We're all going to be going back to Blockbuster and we're going to get throttled so much. Well, shit, we got to go to the video store.
I don't want to talk about it. We still got a chance to beat it.
Do we have,
nothing ever
do you have
ends.
This week's hot new release? Sorry. They're all rented.
Yeah.
No. Perhaps you'd like Mac and Me. Yeah. Instead, we've got plenty of those. We're going to be watching Mac VHS and Me in the future.
Mac Good and Me Lord. Is great, though.
Mac and Me sucks. If you didn't know, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every week, on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about before giving our perspective, answering your questions, reading your bad PSN names, and having a good time with the best friends. If you like that, you can be part of the show by writing in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. That's where nearly everything in this show comes from, so go be part of it. You can watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, but if you're watching live, you have a separate job. You need to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping, again, this is the last week of KFGD. For the year of 2017. We'll be back in January after Friday. And then remember, today we're brought to you by Lisa.com and Omaha Steaks, but I'll tell you about it later. For now, let's begin the Roper Report with what is and forever will be. Wait, I've just not been right. I came back from PSX. I've just been off the game. I checked out after PSX. I'm just exhausted.
Yeah, you're...
Let's begin the Roper Report with what...
I don't blame
Gary
you.
Slamming.
Slap him, Gary!
Let's begin the show with like what
I feel like I could have made better contact there.
You had your chance.
I needed a proper, like, you're hysterical! Like a good barnstormer.
The Roper Report. Time for some news! Two items on the Roper Report.
Pathetic.
I can't get blood from a stone. Everyone's checked out, too.
All right? I guess.
First one comes from Game Informer. It's actually very interesting. Take-Two has announced a new division, a new label called Private Division. Is that right? Yeah, Private Division, where they're going to basically be taking... They took all these different studios, all these developers, put them together, and there's this thing that are basically bringing back AAA games. So rather than have everybody go sink millions and billions of dollars into these AAA things, let's make more stuff like Hellblade. The Game Informer piece, incredibly interesting, very long, very detailed. I pulled two paragraphs from it to talk to you. They're talking, of course, like how much money it costs to take AAA. There's no new ideas happening because people want to establish IP because they want to return their investment. Game Informer says, this leaves the door wide open for a disruptor like Private Division to emerge. This new Take-Two publishing label stands alongside Rockstar and 2K Games, but it plays by much different rules. Rather than going big with benchmark-setting endeavors like Grand Theft Auto or supporting perennial juggernauts like NBA 2K, the new label's directive is to identify smaller teams of experienced developers with great ideas, fund their projects, and, in a surprise twist, let the studios keep the rights to the intellectual property.
That is a surprise twist.
Indeed. Private Division's unconventional approach found a receptive audience in the many talented developers burned out from working on 300-person teams and playing office politics. The first four studios that signed deals with the newly formed publisher boast impressive resumes with games like Assassin's Creed, Fallout, Halo, and Battlefield. Each is a smaller-scale project with smaller teams that maintain the production values gamers expect in a AAA title, but deliver an experience tighter in scope and scale. Think Ninja Theory's Hellblade. All are bringing new concepts that they are passionate about to life in the hopes of finding the footing that can prove so elusive in this industry. Biggest one working with them is Obsidian on an unannounced RPG, and then, yeah, they said there's three more in there, Outsiders, a few other people. Interesting idea, Gary Whitta.
I mean, I like it.
I love it.
I like it. I mean, if it, you know, it remains to be seen if it ends up being what they're advertising right now. Yeah, yeah. But for right now, I love it for a number of reasons. I just going to start from the back, backwards.
Work your way from the butt to the head.
Yeah, we'll work our way up the Christmas tree.
There we go.
Keeping it festive. Like I said, it is a real surprise. Just letting the studios keep the IP.
Yeah.
Because that's where the money is. You know, right. The merchandising and the franchise and the sequel rights. To do that is it's kind of like the Image Comics model, right? When you bring something to Image Comics, it's creator owned. And if somebody wants to make a movie, they don't go to Image Comics, they go to you. The creator owns those rights.
Right.
And that's very rare. It's very rare to see that increasingly, even in comics and in publishing, it's rare to see these kind of things. It's certainly very rare
in
video games. Yeah. The way that you control your own rights is you make a little indie game. And so this is nice, though, because it kind of feels somewhere in the middle, right? You've got your big AAAs, and we all know what they look like.
Of course.
You've got your scrappy little indie scene, and we kind of know what that looks like. But that middle, you said that middle ground, that what you when you said double A,
yeah,
that has kind of largely gone away. But it's interesting that you know, with AAA, you get a lot of big budget production values, but we just basically get the same shit every year because nobody wants to, at that level, nobody wants to take risk. Any kind of financial risk. Let's just do another first-person shooter. Let's slap a big, you know, Star Wars or Battlefront label on it or whatever.
Yeah.
And we pretty much know what we're going to get every year. There's very little innovation at that level because you don't want to put anything at risk when you're spending that much money. And in the indie scene, you get tremendous innovation, but oftentimes those indie games have a kind of rough and ready quality to them that I think some people find off-putting. I personally love it, but it's not for everyone.
100%.
This is a nice, like you said, the Hellblade's a great example of a game that has tremendous, almost like AAA production values, but they took creative risks as well. And it's rare to see those two things happen in tandem, but maybe here in the middle ground is where it can happen.
Well, I think we lost something when AA fell away. And I feel like I always make jokes about THQ being the people who were carrying the torch for the longest time. Then they went away and everything went away. But it was because there was license missteps and all these things. This is such a great mid-step in terms of, all right, you're an indie team that has dreams bigger than your platformer, than this. You have more talent than that. Let's take two behind you, give you the money you need to have a bigger vision. Not we're going to go out and make Metal Gear Solid 5 vision, but a vision bigger on something similar.
And not everything has to be Metal Gear Solid 5 to be of interest, right?
Yeah.
Like I said, Hellblade is a great example. There are many games in that nice sweet spot middle that you said, even though it's really a really interesting place to be because you can spend a bit more money, you can do bigger production values, you can be more ambitious in terms of scale and scope and how much polish is put into the game and the technology and the engine stuff. But you can also take a bit of a risk because if the game doesn't work, it's not the end of the world. It's not like shareholders are going to revolt because you screwed up. So there's a very nice middle ground here, which, as you rightly said, has not been serviced for a long time. I'm almost having a hard time. This is like Take-Two woke up like Scrooge on Christmas morning. Like, the spirits have done it all in one night. Here, developers, have the largest turkey in the shop. You can have all the franchise rights. Like, this is almost... Are we sure this isn't a prank? Because it almost sounds too good to be true.
Well, I think, again, it's the fact, what we talk about in this show, I didn't say the fact that, see? But what we talk about in the show is the fact that the people, damn it, I did it there. The people that are making the games and the developers and the publishers, and publishers want to make money, but we like to believe that they have a heart inside them and that they're
it's nice to believe that. There's been precious little reason to believe it lately.
Sure, and I think that if EA hadn't put their foot on a landmine this year with loot boxes, microtransactions, everything with Star Wars, 2K and Take-Two would be getting it a little bit harder in the way of what happened with NBA 2K18, and there were the virtual currency and the haircuts and all this jazz. But that happened, and then bigger fish came to fry. And so now they're out there saying, all right, well, let's make sure we're around. And this is a page out of EA's book to some extent. Not as well branded as EA's was, but when Peter Moore was going around a few E3s ago talking about like, oh, well, the reason we're making Unraveled is because we make so much money off of NBA and Madden and all these big things, we can then give that money to smaller developers to make smaller games and have these things.
Right.
And that kind of dried up. You don't see EA talking about that as much. It is just them, you know.
No, this middle ground has been completely abandoned, and I would like to see this be successful. And I think that they're giving the developers the IP rights is, of course, a great way to get developers to come and, you know, do this. Because, 100%. Again, it might be very attractive to, make a movie, create a character for Marvel Comics or something. But again, you'll never own any of that character. Mm-hmm. They will own all of it, and you'll get paid whatever minimum they can give you. But you'll never benefit off, you know, so if you create a character on your game or any kind of intellectual property on your own terms, then that's how you can end up potentially buying your own private island and retiring
exactly
early. And
the
so
Notch lifestyle.
As long as that's on the table, there is, I think they're potentially to attract really, really top talent because the talent can see, wow, we could do really well off.
And that's the thing. I urge everybody to go over to Game Informer just like I did because of Matty D-Pad, who wrote in with this link. I totally missed it this morning. I need to start checking Game Informer more. But they have, like I said, extensive article all about this, talking to the developers. There's a trailer embedded there that I'm sure you could just get on YouTube somewhere else too. But it is the fact that these guys have crazy credits from Halo and all sorts of games in there. And they're just like, yeah, we want to make cool shit and we want to work with our friends and we don't want to play all these games.
When will we see the first fruit off of this tree, do you think?
I don't know. I don't think it'll be that long. Going through, when I was rolling through the article before I came on, like I said, Obsidian stood up and they're like, oh, no, it's an RPG. And you're like, okay. And then the next studio started popping up and their games had working titles already. So I think they're further along. I would expect next year probably the first one to drop.
Well, it remains to be seen how it actually works in practice. But on paper, I love it. And I would love to see more companies do this. I think it's great.
Number two, a short one, but a tantalizing one. Is Burnout Paradise being remastered? TheNerdMag.com had a story up that Brazilian retailers have listed Burnout Paradise remastered, or it just says Burnout Paradise, for PS4 and Xbox One with a March 1st, 2018 date. Gary, you buy it?
I was this close, even though I already knew. I was this close.
Did you do a spit take?
I was going to do a spit take.
Yeah, Kevin would have gotten real mad.
I didn't want to mess up your nice set. But this is spit take worthy.
You love Burnout.
Is it not? I love Burnout.
Who didn't love Burnout?
I love Burnout. It's my number one gripe. Pretty much any conversation about EA, I will, as many others will, I'll find a way to get it around to the subject. Why don't they just bring back Burnout?
Sure. For me, it's Road Rash, but right behind it's Burnout. Yeah.
But Road Rash would be a nice substitute as well. But yeah. I have so many happy memories of Burnout 3. Paradise.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Such great
game. Paradise was an amazing game that was ahead of its time in terms of how it handled DLC. Because that was an Xbox 360 PS3 game that was supported, I mean, almost as a games as service, where there was DLC for that thing forever, years and years and years, and they would do free weekends and you'd get it here and you jump in.
Yeah.
Now it's the Ecto-1 and DeLorean DLC. Like, oh my, like that's what got me back into it.
It was just the best time. I remember me and a bunch of buddies used to go online and we'd all like take turns doing like crazy jumps off cliffs and like see if you could get the most air and just the most fun. I remember like car checking and crash mode and all that stuff used to be. I just bring it back. Everybody loves it. EA obviously is in a bit of a hole right now with its, you know, in terms of
public
its perception.
Impressions, yeah.
This would be a good way towards just as a gesture. We're not even talking about a new Burnout game, just remastering Paradise.
Yeah. All that DLC.
We would love to have that.
Yeah.
Please do it. I hope this isn't a false rumor.
I hope so too. But what was interesting about it was for Burnout, was the fact that I don't care about racing games, right? And I'm not a big car guy at all. But I liked that game because it was, you could play and never race if you didn't want to. There were races to do, sure, but there was billboards to break.
Just
and there
doing
was,
crazy stuff.
Yeah, just run around and play with each other. Good. Gary, I hope Burnout Paradise is real. But if it is, it's coming out on March 1st, but nobody knows. If I want to know what came to the digital mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday. Slow news week, wasn't it?
I know, really bad. Yeah, really bad.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, we're this far into the holidays.
What are you going to do?
People have packed up for Christmas already.
Out today, Bleed on Switch, Ukulele on Switch, Gorogoa on PC and Mac. That's that Anna Piura game we were talking about earlier. It's fun. Black the Fall Switch, Bleed on Switch, Mecho Tales on Switch, Mutant Muds Collection on Switch, Never Stop Sneaking on Switch, One More Dungeon on Switch, Polybridge on Switch, Wolfenstein 2's DLC, The Adventures of Gunslinger Joe on those platforms, Life is Strange on iOS, the original, Not Before the Storm, and then I put Fex, but Fez on iOS is also out.
Now, I'm sure you've covered it earlier in the week because there's the big news stories about, you know, 10 million Switches sold and Nintendo confirmed that. And it's now officially like a mega hit console.
Sure.
But it's come up again here as we've done this in the past. Like, when's the last time you remember Nintendo? Just I know this is just one day of the week, but like when's the last time you remember Nintendo dominating the release calendar by volume? Like Switch. Yeah. There's so many games coming out.
Well, they own
the
Thursdays. And I mean, we've had a couple on this show where it's been like there's 18 Switch games out today, which is, number one, cool, but also then, man, are we already out of the golden era where these indies were saying like, oh, we put this game onto Switch and it sold the best out of any
I think
of our platforms.
I think this is the beginning of the golden era because now is a bona fide hit.
What you have to go
any
play
indie
it?
Developers that were like, I don't know, Nintendo, really? Clearly, those concerns have been put to bed, and you can put a game on Switch as an indie developer and have a great success with it.
Well, Gary Widow. There's been a lot of talk on this show this week about, great, Nintendo had an amazing 2017. Are we worried about 2018?
I don't know. Are we?
I don't know. Are you?
No.
Are you got things to look forward to?
I don't know. I mean, are we worried that Nintendo is going to Nintendo at some point and somehow find a way to put their foot in it and screw this up?
Or, I mean, just how do they keep the momentum going when you put out your Mario and your Zelda this year and your Mario Kart this year?
I don't know if it was their Mario Kart. I think that they busted that out there just to have something at launch. I would like to think there is a Mario Kart 9 coming for the Switch. I would like to think that Pocket Camp has really got me wishing for a full-on Animal Crossing on Switch. It would really be the perfect, you know, because Animal Crossing has always lived very nicely on handheld and home Nintendo consoles. Now, of course, it can be both on the Switch. So it's really the perfect system for Animal Crossing. I really hope they do it. Smash Brothers will be
massive.
Don't forget what a big deal Smash Brothers is like on the tournament scene and so forth. It's a big, big deal.
Yeah.
You still got potentially Metroid. I mean, is there any? I mean, do you have any more of a whiff of like what the next big round of first party titles will
no,
be?
No, and that's the thing that we really don't. Outside of what that, you know, their Nintendo Direct at E3 and like teasing a Metroid, saying they're working on Animal Crossing, but like dates we don't know. The hope would be, you know, with that leaked, and I'm putting in quotes, leaked document from EA was of that there's a Direct coming in January that'll be like, hey, let's set up 2018, which would be awesome.
Well, I think that, you know, it still is very much incumbent upon them to make sure that they do continue to have those strong first-party games, and that has always been their strength.
Yeah.
But again, I think and they shouldn't fall back on this, but what is really nice is clearly third parties and indies are now flocking to this system to such a degree that even if they had a year where they didn't have, you know, more than, say, one or two like big first-party releases, right, it's not going to be like the Wii or the Wii U. Like, nothing came out because Nintendo didn't put anything out. Everyone else was like, you know, just putting out Guy Fieri's Bargain Bin Cooking Challenge or whatever. For some reason, that's the one I always remember. I remember seeing Guy Fieri Wii game in a bargain bin at Target and going, yep, that's exactly the state of the Wii right now, that kind of shovelware.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to get that this time. And we're looking at quality indies and a lot of them.
Yeah.
So I think that Nintendo, again, they shouldn't consider it a safety net or a reason to not keep the pedal to the metal with first-party games. But I think the Switch at this point has crossed the Rubicon where it's totally viable for third-party developers. Like you said, people have said, we have sold more on Switch than we have on Steam, which is not something you would have expected people to say from the indie side. But it's there now. I think now that success has been proven, more developers will come. I do think this is the... I want to believe it because I want Nintendo to do well. And it's like when they have something that is so successful, like right now, you are going like, don't fuck this up.
Don't fuck this up.
You brought it this far. Yeah. Just keep it going.
We've had this conversation, like I said, throughout the week. Today, Lyndon, not Johnson, from Dallas, writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, and says... Happy with a Thursday, Greg and Gary. Parentheses, stick to the schedule, Gary. Damn it. On both Tuesday and Wednesday, the Kinda Funny Games Daily crew dug into the topic of the momentum of the Switch going into 2018. Both Greg and Andrea made various good points about what could help or hinder Nintendo's hot streak in the new year, but there is one major aspect of Nintendo's potential 2018 plans that neither Greg nor Andrea touched on at all. I'm speaking, of course, about Nintendo's admittedly vague plans for the Switch Virtual Console. While I understand that we still don't know exactly what form this will take, I have to believe that the system will see its debut in some fashion this coming year. To me, one of the great promises of the Switch has always been the ability to take Nintendo's amazing back catalog of games on the go, and sales of the NES and SNES Classic surely point to loads of consumer interest in these old titles. So how about it? Do you think that a robust virtual console experience could keep the ball rolling for Nintendo? Imagine having a year defined by classic gaming on the Switch, sandwiched between the Mario and Zelda Fest of 2017 and the Pokemon Metroid 1-2 Punch of 2019. I listen to the show every day and love what you guys do. Proud to be a Kinda Funny best friend. Lyndon, not Johnson. Virtual console would be a big part, and we were remiss in not bringing that up.
Because
I blame Andrea.
They have announced those plans, right? We don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but I'm hoping it's going to be what they're suggesting is like some kind of Netflix-like service, right? You pay rather than buying games individually as you used to on the old virtual consoles. Yeah. Just pay a subscription, pay whatever it is, $4.99 a month. Whoever knows what they'll come up with, and then it's like Spotify or Netflix. Like,
I mean, that'd be awesome.
They keep adding stuff to it, and as long as you keep your subscription current, you have this vast library of classic games to play. And this does play into one of Nintendo's biggest strengths that we don't talk about enough is their library is unrivaled.
Unparalleled, right? Yeah.
Microsoft, Sony, EA, Activision, none of the other big companies can have anything like Nintendo's library. They're essentially the MGM of video games, right? Their library is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And they're sitting on all these classic games that people will be very happy to buy over and over again as you keep remastering them and bringing them back and putting them on in the virtual console. I don't know how many times I've bought the original Super Mario Brothers now.
Of course.
Pretty much every time Nintendo puts it on a new system, I re-get it just to have it.
I feel to that point there that's what's so interesting about the Switch is the fact that this is the first Nintendo console since 64 that I'm all in on and super into and just love and adore. And what that means is that when I had my Wii U, my 3DS, and the virtual consoles around, I'd buy Super Mario 3, a game that I missed because I was a Sega kid, and start it, but I'd only get a few worlds in and then get distracted, stop playing it, and never go back to it. If they put it out again on Switch, I'm going to buy it, and I'm definitely going to play all the way through it.
Yeah.
If they put Super Mario World out, a game that I adore, is, I think, probably, I think, I, no, it's one of my, it's definitely, I think it's my top two or three games of all time. I'd buy that again and play through it all the way over again. And the wave of popularity the Switch has behind it right now, I think that trickles down to all of these games that,
yes,
sure, you've bought these before, but when they're on your big screen TV at home, did you sit down and play them all, or did you tinker around? Like a lot of people do with their SNES Classic, of like, oh, this is a fun throwback, go in. Andy was using his last night, I saw on Instagram stories, and popped around a million games, but didn't commit to a game. Whereas if you're on a plane, you're like, yeah, why don't I commit to this?
It's just such an incredible value add to be able to boast about, to say, when you have a Nintendo Switch, you also have access, you know, subscription required, and a little bullet point at the bottom, but you know, you have your access to, you know, 30 years of,
you
know,
do you think
basically the best games library ever.
Do you think they're going to do a Netflix thing?
I hope so.
That sounds so progressive and un-Nintendo.
It sounds very progressive. What's interesting is that Xbox and PlayStation haven't done anything quite like that. I know that they have, like, you know, Games of Gold and stuff like that.
Well, there's Game Pass on Xbox now, which has it in
there. Yeah, so that's getting closer to it. When you look at, like, Spotify and iTunes and stuff like that, and Apple Music and all these different services, Netflix, the idea of, like, buying content like a la carte, a piece at a time,
yeah,
it's starting to feel kind of old-fashioned. We're getting increasingly used to this model of $10 a month and you just have everything.
Yeah,
you never really own it, but you have access to everything for as long as you keep paying that subscription.
Sure.
I feel like the time is right for, you know, a game version of that model, and Nintendo I think is best placed to exploit it, because they have this phenomenal library.
It'd be awesome to see, but the way they talk about their online, you know, infrastructure and what they want to do, that program of, all right, you'll pay it and then you'll get a game a month or whatever, whatever the actual requirements are. I think it's a game a month, or they're saying you'll get some games. That sounds more like PlayStation Plus than it does Xbox Live games.
Yeah, I don't know if it will be close to Netflix, but I hope it is closer to something like that. I like the idea of just having a massive gallery of content. Like my kid, she's 5, right? And she's grown up in an era where she's not even, to her, the idea of like, what content do you own or don't own is like, she doesn't, and even, she just looks at Netflix and just thinks, well, we just have everything. She just, I want that.
Yeah.
And we have it. Cause you know, as long as your subscription is current, you just have everything that they have.
Yeah.
But you know, and it's disappointing sometimes you get a Netflix or whatever. Oh, that got taken down. It's not anymore. Yeah. Like all of Columbo used to be on Netflix.
Oh, it's down now?
It's not.
What do you do? You love Columbo.
Well, I have all the DVDs.
Okay,
I'm
perfect.
Not a
just
mug.
Sure,
of course,
sure.
I have an offline backup.
The bunker.
Multiple redundancies built in, Greg, for Columbo. And so that's just what I think. That's what the next generation is going to be used to. Not like, oh, I have to buy this one game. Like, why don't they just have everything all at once? So I think Nintendo is really well positioned to
that. Be super
kind of lead the charge
and awesome.
On that.
I just don't, with their app for voice chat and everything else.
Well, they're always going to be really careful about that, because you know there are bad people in the world, and yeah, they have to, you know, keep their Disney reputation. But what I seem to remember them talking about how they were going to add multiplayer functionality, like there would be like online multiplayer added into these classic games. Like I would love to go onto Super Mario Brothers and see like your ghost run, you know, and play against your ghost stuff like that.
No way.
What?
No, they're never going to do that.
You don't think they're going to do that?
If they do that, they're going to put them back out as a, hey, here's a cartridge to buy in the store or a download off the eShop.
I don't know. They were talking about doing stuff like that with the service. When they first started talking about it, they were going to add multiplayer functionality.
They went all mum on that service, which makes
games.
Me
well,
go, maybe they,
so under, that's the thing.
They read the backlash of it because it was supposed to be in the summer and then everybody hated it. And they're like, all right, we'll push it to next year.
Why did they hate it?
Because why am I paying for this crappy online service that's bad?
Is it bad? We don't know yet.
No, man. Playing Mario Kart on the Nintendo Online, that's the one knock.
No, I mean,
Mario
Kart. What I want is, again, whatever the fee is, $4.99, $7.99, whatever they want to charge me, I'll pay it. And then I have access to this Nintendo Flix.
Sure.
Right?
That'd be awesome. Nintendo Flix,
right? So we have Nintendo Flix
and chill.
30 years of basically every game they've ever released.
Sure.
So you don't even need to buy the SNES Classic anymore. It's just going to be there.
Yeah.
And then certain, I wouldn't expect everything to be, but like certain flagship games would have an extra lick of paint, a new online layer put over it that would allow me, even if it's just like, you know, leaderboards or something.
I hear you. No, I agree that would be awesome. I just don't, that's not going to happen.
Why not?
Because Nintendo's not going to commit resources to that when they could put that out as a full-fledged game again.
It's Christmas, Greg. It's time to believe in miracles.
Humbug is what I say.
It's
to that
the
Christmas
time of
wish.
Miracles. I believe.
Well, this is happening in January when it's just a barren landscape and everything's freezing.
I'm optimistic.
Good, be that way, fine.
I won't even
let myself dream, Gary, that when Animal Crossing comes to Switch, it'll at all connect to Pocket Camp.
Let me tell you
something. I won't even dream of that because that's too progressive for
Nintendo. After all the shit we put up with as gamers this year,
yeah,
loot boxes and all that bullshit and everything else that, you know, tried to fuck us, I'm choosing to end the season on a festive, goodwill to all men, peace on earth,
yeah,
infinite Nintendo games on the Switch for a reasonable
for $4.99.
fee.
All right, sure. Keep dreaming, Witta. New dates for you. Inner Space is coming to PS4 on January 16th. Regalia Royal Edition is coming to PlayStation 4 in 2018. Pokemon Crystal will become the latest game in the series to get a 3DS virtual console release on January 26th, 2018.
Is that like an old Game Boy game or something?
I guess Crystal. I know, dork. I don't know. Some Pokemon dork game.
You're wrong.
Let me get a Charlizard. There he is. Right, Kevin? Yeah.
Wow. That's not a very Greggy thing to do, to
make fun of the Pokemon.
Admonish or make fun of a particular subset of gamers. Do you think that people who play Pokemon should be ridiculed?
No, of course not.
I played it.
Yeah. Well, I also don't think that PC players should be ridiculed, but I do it every time. let me play them with my Excel and Minesweeper. It's all fun and games.
You seriously need, as a former PC, I still am a PC gamer, but as a former editor of PC Gamer and someone who used to have their office right next door to the frat boy console guy. We were like the nerds, and then you got like the frat house, the console frat house in the office next to us. We put up with this shit for a long time.
Sure.
But we always, at the end of the day, went home not too bothered about it because we knew we had the better games.
What sucks is, like, do you remember like 2007, 2008 when it seemed like it was over? It seemed like PC gaming was finally dead.
Did it?
It was like there was headlines. I have a photo on my phone of us putting a giant tombstone on Charles Onyet's desk.
And what happened?
And it fucking came back stronger than ever. Stronger than ever. And it's
turned
like, fuck, it's the best way to play games.
Still the best way to play games.
Pain in the ass, though. Sit there with my mouse and I'll click around.
Still the best way to play games.
Got my keyboard split in two, so it's ergonomic.
Yeah. But I would never. I mean, that is crazy. But I think
that's where I draw the line.
I think we need to force feed you. I think we need to build you a good gaming PC, load it up with some quality titles, and force you to play these games.
You know what I need you to do?
And then you will see the light.
Build Kevin a better streaming PC. That's what we need. That's your job now.
But I'm not. I would not be the guy to build.
God damn it! Nobody knows what to do.
That's not true at all.
No, we just don't know what to do. All right. Well, have you ordered it yet?
We need to talk about that.
Just order it. Who cares?
You want that gold-plated GeForce card, don't you?
He wants the ice cooling and all this stuff in there. Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. They're always gouging you.
You can load up a $13,000 iMac Pro as of today if you want. Max it out.
Oh, God, it's so complicated.
16 cores.
I won't lie to you. When Steambox got announced or like rumored or whatever.
That was a failure.
I let myself get excited. Where I was like, oh, you're going to put a PC on that's like easy and like I understand how it's going to work and it's just going to be I buy it off the thing, put it down?
I get it. That's the problem for me is still I've tried so many different lap boards and couch coffee tabletop arrangements that can work with a mouse and keyboard. You either sit at a desk or it ain't working.
And that's
right.
Why I don't want to sit at a desk. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can do it. I mean, I know people do it. They have their living room and they have some kind of little desk, lap desk arrangement. They've found different ways to hack it.
When Marvel Heroes first launched, and SimCity for that matter too, I pulled my coffee table close to the couch, put my back on the, I sat on the ground, back to the couch, and then my legs through the coffee table and sat there and drove like this. And that was fine, but it was just like, ugh.
That can't be your day-to-day. You can't do
that. No, I can't do that day-to-day. Yeah, no way. Portillo needs to sit in my lap. There's a million things going on. Rocket League Switch is coming physical to North America, January 16th, to Australia and New Zealand, the 24th.
Physical, you mean in a box?
Correct, yeah. Okay. And then to the EU on the 25th. And then there's a bunch of other countries IGN had listed, but it was wishy-washy, the 25th/26th. I'm not some world doctor. I'm not going around in a hot air balloon telling you when that's coming out. So you can look into it if you're in South Africa. After Party is Oxenfree, the developer of Oxenfree's new game. It's got a preview up on IGN. It sounds kind of cool. No date.
Well, Oxenfree was good. So anything they do next.
It's a cool idea. It's like I was reading Marty's preview. It's like a mix up of Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey meets all this. But it's these two platonic friends who are about to graduate college and realize like.
Is it a similar style of game, like a 2D kind of characters walking around with speech bubbles?
Yeah, it looked like that from the screens I looked at. Right. I didn't watch any trailers, but they die, go to hell, and then it's their adventures in hell, and you have to drink. They're drinking in hell, like at a bar, and like I guess the X button will always be drink, like kind of like how in Walking Dead, there's always a silence option, there's always a drink option. I don't know. It sounded interesting.
Okay.
I liked. I didn't love Oxenfree, but I liked Oxenfree fun. The Dawning in Destiny 2 will start December 19th on PS4.
What is
Xbox
The Dawning?
One and PC. Their Christmas event, their winter event. It'll run through January 9th.
How do they make Destiny? Is it actually Christmassy?
I never played Destiny 1 at that time, so this is brand new to me as a Destiny 2 fan. But I guess you can throw snowballs. There's a new armor set to get.
I would like to think that after everything humanity has been through in Destiny, that they would need, like, they'd appreciate Christmas more than ever.
Yeah, exactly. But then I guess, like, of course, there was a guy who wrote into the kindoffunny.com/KFGD that I tried to research his question, but there's not enough information out yet, that he was super fucking pissed that I guess the armor set you earn in the game will also be sold at Tess, which is like the microtransaction place.
Okay.
So you just buy it, and he was super mad about that. But I don't know anything about that yet.
So I just like it in games when they do Christmassy things. Like, I like, you know, when Overwatch does, like, the holiday skins. Yeah. And I used to really enjoy the Feast of Winter's Veil in Warcraft, where, you know, their Great Father Winter would be in Ironforge. And
sure.
You could go and get the, what did they call it? Smoky Wood Pastures, which was their version of, like, what's the place where you get, like, the shitty smoked sausages and stuff at Christmas time. They bring it every year. Hickory Farms.
Hickory Farms, yeah.
So
yeah.
Smoky Wood Pastures was like the Blizzard, the Warcraft version of Hickory Farms, and you could get like special seasonal treats and stuff. And it's good. It's like all the community gets involved in it.
It seems late though for Destiny to do it, right?
I feel like they should take the Traveler and like light it up like a big Christmas ball.
There you go. Put the lights around it.
Yeah, yeah. How hard would that be?
Yeah, because that I remember in the old days when I was using like dial-up internet, and it would come to be Christmas time, you download that weird program that I'm sure did something horrible, but it put the Christmas lights along the top of your screen. So you worked and there was like little Christmas lights there.
Yeah.
That was always fun.
Yeah.
And then I was playing everybody's golf yesterday, went to the store to see what's up. They had the Santa outfit. So I bought the Santa hat. So I'm running.
Well, I mean, it's delightful in Animal Crossing at the moment, isn't it? Collecting all those candy canes. Yeah. My camp looks so Christmassy right now.
I feel like I'm just not making candy canes fast enough. I would love to just microtransaction.
No, you really to get, so you can get everything. The last two items.
Yeah.
They jack up the candy cane requirement.
Wait,
you really got to grind for those last two items.
PSX was a speed bump for me. I haven't gotten back on my Animal Crossing train since then.
Yeah, I noticed it. Well, I can see exactly when you've last been on, and you have been remiss.
I know. I'll be back.
Your pocket.
Well, it's because I popped in on Monday or whatever. Me and Joey Noel were sitting there talking, and they had the announcement about gardening, about crafting clothes.
When
I can craft clothes, get in there. I'm all over it because that's the thing I really want to do. I just want a pair of jeans. I don't want to wear these weird checkered pants I have, but I have to keep wearing them.
Right.
God forbid I be in shorts.
Curate your own look.
All I ever want to do is look just like I look. Hot Shots Golf started that game. I was in jeans, black and white sneakers, the glasses. I had a blue hoodie on. I almost cried. I was like, this is everything I wanted.
And I got to say, your Animal Crossing avatar is an uncanny. Like, I could totally pick you out of a lineup based on your Animal Crossing avatar. It looks just like you.
I think the fact that I put the hat on in the game is the reason I wanted the hat for this. Because I look so good in the game.
So now, rather than try to make your in-game avatars look like you, you're trying to make yourself look like your in-game avatar.
If somebody starts selling a black shirt that says BB in white letters, I'll buy that too. Because then it'll just be my Animal Crossing shirt.
I love it.
All right. Time for reader mail. But first, I need to tell you, it's brought to you by Lisa and Omaha Steaks. Two great gifts for everyone in your family. Let's talk about Lisa.com. These are the mattresses that are 100% American-made, delivered compressed in a box to your door. It is thoughtfully crafted with high-quality materials to create what Lisa calls their universal adaptive feel. Its three foam layers provide support, pressure relief, and cooling that adapts to all bodies, shapes, sizes, and sleeping styles. Now, the thing I've said about this before, Gary, is that this is a gift that keeps on giving in three ways. Number one, you get the mattress. You get a great mattress to sleep on, and it's delivered there, no fuss, no muss. You don't have to go to the store. Great. Number two, the box comes. You can let the cat play with the box. That's a Christmas gift for the cat. However, I was on Reddit the other day. Someone had a video of an unexpected, and it was a long mattress like box. I don't know if it was for sure a Lisa mattress, but it was shooting into the black, and then all of a sudden, dog butt comes out. It was a little dachshund who went all the way in the box and then had to crawl out backwards. Very cute. So now it's a cat and a dog box.
Okay.
And then, of course, number three, the gift is for the child. You get to watch this compressed mattress inflate because that's the best part about getting these
things. The child in all of us. I mean, I got one of those internet mattresses, and watching it expand like a sea monkey was really quite magical.
100%. Joey has the mattress from Lisa. She loves it. She sleeps on it. She seems well-rested enough. Could be the boost. You get a 100-night trial, though. It's for free. So if you don't like it, they'll come back, give you your money back, and you don't get charged nothing. It's great. The mattresses cost thousands in store, but Lisa starts at just $525, and you can get $100 off by going to lisa.com/kindoffunny and entering the promo code kindoffunny, all one word. That's Lisa, LEESA.com/kindoffunny. Promo code kind of funny, all one word.
What is your sleeping style, Greg?
Well, I start cuddling Jen.
Yeah.
And then it's usually me cuddling her, her cuddling Porty. So we're three spoons.
Like a three-way spoon centipede?
Exactly. Okay. Well, no, that's a weird way to say it. But yeah, three spoons, yeah. And then I roll over the other way. And yeah. I take my, we have the two pillows on every side. I take the second pillow and put it down like as a border to the bed. I don't know
you
why.
You create like a barrier between the two
No, this is to the, like to the floor. Like on the other side it's there. And sometimes I put my leg on it and sometimes I'm laying on my side, I guess.
Yeah, I'm a side sleeper too.
Yeah. And then Porty used to sleep between my legs, but now he sleeps between Jen's legs because she's surpassed me now. I know. Next sponsor is Omaha Steaks right now. For only $49.99, you can get my family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com. Enter my code KFGAMES in the search bar. That's 75% off. Kevin, did we love Omaha Steaks? I made them at Extra Life. They were delicious. I liked them so much I had sent them to my dad for Christmas. My dad liked them so much he sent them back to me for some other holiday. Omaha Steaks are great. And right now, for just $49.99, you can get this pack that includes two filet mignons, two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four kielbasa sausages, four burgers, four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets, one Omaha steak seasoning packet, and an additional four kielbasa sausages for free. Go to omahasteaks.com. Enter my code.
Wait, did they just add the? Is that a new thing? The extra kielbasa?
You're getting them.
I feel like that they just sweetened the deal then.
Nope, this deal has been this sweet.
This has
and
been
delicious for the entire time. And I've said before, the kielbasas are my favorite thing.
Yeah.
The steaks are great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not putting any of the food down.
But you like the kielbasa.
I do like a good sausage.
How do you cook it? On the grill?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Sometimes what I like to do, you know, is if I'm at home, I'll butterfly them, you know.
I like to do that.
Then make a sandwich that way so you get even sausage everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm getting...
That's what I do. When I cook a sausage in a frying pan,
I
split it down the middle and face it down, and that way it gets cooked evenly.
In my cooking adventures, what I've been doing with the kielbasa sausages at home, or sausages in general, is I put them in the pan, don't slice them, brown the sides, then turn down the heat, put in a bit of water, cover them, they cook that way. And they cook through the whole way, because that's the big problem of a grill pan, right? The sausage is too thick. How do I equally get it to the right doneness?
Yeah.
Anyways, omahasteaks.com. Enter my code KFGAMES in the search bar. Get 75% off. It's guaranteed to be a hit because Kevin likes meat. Right, Kevin?
Yeah.
Duarte Rosa says, hey, guys. So recently I have been seeing a lot of people giving some shit to PUBG's Xbox version, mainly saying it was clearly rushed. Do you think this decision could backfire on Microsoft sales-wise? And that when it finally comes out on PlayStation 4, it is a much more polished and sellable product. Love from Portugal, Duarte. No, I don't think it's going to backfire on them at all. You've seen all this?
I saw some. I mean, I haven't had a chance to play it yet, but I did see some reactions saying that the frame rate's a little bit choppy and feels like it was a little bit rushed.
Textures are missing in this. I mean, it was pretty clearly communicated. This is early access. This is the game preview program.
Yes, but that's a bit more of an alien concept on console, isn't it, than
sure,
on PC?
Sure. But I think even when PUBG was on PC and setting all these crazy record numbers, people were like, why do people like... Andrea was in here arguing with Danny all the time about it. This is a janky game. This doesn't deserve what it's getting. Da, da, da. I think if people expected the jank, as somebody who played on PC, not addicted to it on PC, but played on PC and then played it on launch night, I was surprised it ran number one. I thought for sure it would just crash out, but it didn't. And I was like, yeah, the textures are missing, and it's taking a while for this to pop in, draw distance.
So you expected it to be even rougher than it was.
Why and I played that? It and I had fun. I'm just used to, I mean, game preview as a label being put on it, and then... With all due respect to anybody, any multiplayer game that launches and has this much popularity behind it, where it is like, hey, this is like Microsoft's chief exclusive of 2017.
I mean, I wonder if that's why they felt the need to hit a specific date with it, whether they needed it for the holidays or something.
I guarantee that is why.
Because what would be the other, what other reason would there be to put it out when clearly it seems like they would have been happier to spend a bit more time in the oven?
I totally think that you wanted to, they said they weren't going to hit this year. They wanted to hit this year to give you a reason to get an Xbox for Christmas. They want as much time to say they have PUBG before PlayStation does eventually get it. Now, to Duarte's point, I think that when it comes to PlayStation 4, it's going to be a very similar shit show. I definitely think that game launches and isn't in great shape right away.
But if I'm a game developer, I don't want, you know, a much heralded game is going to be exposed to a new audience for the first time, like on, you know, for consoles. Mm-hmm. I don't want the first experience that those new players have with it to be shitty.
Sure.
Because first impressions matter.
Of course.
And some number of people, I imagine, would look at it and go, oh, this is buggy or whatever, and they don't come back.
Yeah.
You want to, you know, make the best first impression possible.
You're not wrong, but I do think that saying you're in beta, that you're in early access, I think that does give you an out on some.
I think if you can, I think if you can explain again, that is very well understood on Steam. A lot of games are in early access, and PC we're expect PC gamers expect their games to crash, and to be suboptimal. A lot of that's just the nature of working. You know, to be, being a PC gamer, there's a lot of fiddling just to get the game running right, even when it's fully polished. You know, because every system's different. On console, though, one of the prime benefits attractions has always been plug it in, it plays, it works. It's probably not going to crash or be buggy. Or the idea of like playing something in a pre-release early access state, that is something that console gamers don't have as much familiarity with. So when something like this comes along, which is a big AAA type release, Battlegrounds, one of the biggest games of the year. But it's going to come to them in a kind of crashy, buggy state.
I hear you, but I feel in a lot of ways, even though that's a PC thing, I think that's infiltrated the public consciousness. Not to my friend Poe back home, who's a professor and comes home and plays a game once in a while. But I think if you know PUBG and you've heard amazing things about PUBG, you've also heard that, well, it's lovably janky and clunky, and it is a PC game that this is.
Well, and of course, every online game now, whether it's Battlefront or Call of Duty, you know, they always has a very fraught first couple of weeks, right? As they think they've tested everything, but you never really know until it goes live into the wild. And hundreds of thousands of people are playing it. Then you go, okay, now we can start to see where the problems are, whether it's a design problem or a technical server load problem, whatever it may be. At some point, this had to happen, right? A version of the game had to go out so they could test it.
Yeah.
And this is that
build
phase.
On it, right?
I just hope that people don't judge it on, like I said, they properly message that this is not final. This is in a test phase.
Yeah.
So that people, you know, take that into account when they see the things that still need
the
to be
the narrative
worked on.
I've seen the most online is the people who have experienced the PC version being hard on this version, of course, because even what the PUBG standard is, it's less than that.
Right.
But then the other thing I've seen, and I've been included in a lot of tweets because they're talking to Danny about Kind of Funny Games Daily or whatever, are console players being like, I didn't get what you guys were talking about, but I've been playing it, and my heart is pumping. I got my first chicken dinner. I almost... the experience is translating over, even if it is wonky right now and not where the PC version is.
And I think it is unfair it's a natural thing. PC gamers like to do this. Oh, you know, here's an opportunity for us to, you know, brag about how we have the best version of something.
Sure.
Yes, I'm sure that the true version of PUBG is always going to be on the PC where it was born, and that's what it's optimized for. But yeah, so if a lot of the comments are coming from PC snobs saying, well, you know, it sucks because it's not this and that, I would just sweep all those aside, and I'd be much more interested in hearing the comments of that second set of players that you just described, Xbox players that don't have a point of reference, that are just like, okay, here's a new shooter on Xbox. I've heard a lot about it, and it was great on PC. Let's check it out. And again, if the things that they have successfully converted over are the things that matter, the heart pumping, the thrill of exhilaration when you get your first chicken dinner, that's what makes PUBG PUBG. And if they've got that working, then they've got a solid foundation. They'll fix the bugs.
Coming from that console thing, the console perspective myself, it is, you know, I sat down and played it on launch night, and I was like, all right, yeah, I don't know where the textures are for the plane. I know I should be able to see more. Once we got out of that plane and went down, it was exactly what the feeling of PUBG from there. Like, oh God, I'm going to that house. Great.
Right.
Oh no, somebody else is parachuting in there.
I don't
too.
Have a gun.
Like, oh yeah.
That guy probably is going to get a gun before
I ran into the bathroom and shut the door and barricaded myself in and waited. Like it was, and I can't wait to play that again.
So many.
Probably not tonight because Star Wars, but because of the weekend. Like I want to play more.
I was just looking at some of my old YouTube PUBG clips the other day. So many great memories.
Dude, yeah. Like, all that game does is generate memories and awesome
great,
moments.
Great, great stories that come out of it. And I think ultimately, once it is fully stable, you know, sometime hopefully next year, I think one of the great benefits it will have, because they're still having a bit of problem with cheaters and exploiters on the PC version. They're always going to be an issue because it's an open platform.
Yeah.
They'll always find ways to kind of back end their little programs and their bullshit cheats and hacks and stuff. On Xbox, that's theoretically harder to do. So once they get it like fully stable, that'll actually be a unique advantage the Xbox has, which is you're less likely to meet cheaters and exploiters over here.
Obviously, no official numbers out for PUBG on Xbox One, but I saw one report today that was just referencing leaderboards, and there's something like 480,000 names on the leaderboards right now. And granted, those could be people who bought one copy and have played under different accounts and stuff like that, but still impressive.
Yeah, I got to check it out.
Not even the first week. Let's stick with this PUBG event and go on an event. That's not right. Mateus says, hey, Greg and Gary. I've been following you all for a while now, but it's my first time asking a question. So here it is. Would you be willing to give Metal Gear Survive He means a chance. Would you be willing to give Metal Gear Survive a chance if it had a Battle Royale mode? Sometimes I play PUBG on my XL machine. Thanks, man. But I wish it had more solid gameplay experiences like Metal Gear Solid 5. This is a game I want most to adopt a Battle Royale mode, and I think it's the one it would feel the most at home while doing so. Thanks for all you do. P.S. Sorry for my broken English. No problem. Thank you for writing in.
What is Metal Gear Survive?
That's that new Metal Gear that's coming out next year.
Is it a core Metal Gear or like an offshoot?
It's a spinoff.
Okay.
The idea is it's a spinoff tale from Metal Gear Solid 5. I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, kindoffunny.com/Aaron, because I didn't watch all the way through. But the idea is that there's a single player campaign and a multiplayer campaign. It's a side story, so it's not canon, but it's like picking up from Metal Gear Solid 5 of like these guys who get sucked into another dimension or whatever of hell. The multiplayer stuff we got to play at E3 was basically like, okay, fortify the base, and then waves of these weird zombie dead guys are going to come at us, and we get to use different weapons to attack them. And it was like,
okay,
this is very weird. This is
so like Fortnite Horde mode, basically.
Yeah, and it was like, this isn't Metal Gear, but it is Metal Gear, and it plays like Metal Gear 5, which was great. But then this is a weird game mechanic and blah blah blah. To your question, Mateus, I'm going to give Metal Gear Survive a chance regardless. I'm sure I'll go to a preview event, they'll send a copy, and I'm going to play it and see what the hell this thing's all about. That does, from what we played, I'd be more interested, yeah, in, hey, we have the Metal Gear Solid 5 mechanics, and we're doing a PUBG thing, than I am with this base building weird thing. That's the same thing of like with Fortnite, where I've never played vanilla Fortnite, but I've played Battle Royale.
If you had said nothing to me other than there's a new game coming out called Metal Gear Survive, my brain instantly would have gone to, oh, so they're going to do PUBG, they're going to do Battle Royale.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you right now, every major company, Activision, EA, Ubisoft, take to every company out there that already has like a foot in the first person shooter game,
yeah,
is working on a Battle Royale mode right now. I guarantee it. Yeah. Fortnite was the first. There will be many more.
Yeah, 100%. I don't know. Yeah, well, interesting to see if Survive Attacks That Honor has it there, but I'm going to give it a chance regardless and see what it's all about, because I'm a Metal Gear fan. I do want to know, and I don't want to just be blindly like, ah, because a whole bunch of people work on that game that didn't fuck over Kojima, so I don't want to throw away the baby with the bathwater.
Oh, that's right, because they're in the, I mean, that's the only reason to be skeptical, right? Is in the post Kojima age.
Yeah, and the whole our fuck Konami campaign and all these different things. Like, where does that go?
Right.
We were talking about that yesterday when the beta got announced or whatever. It's just like, how is that game going to do? Because that game was radio silent forever. Nobody seems super interested in it. I don't know. It's just a weird choice I wouldn't have made, but I'm going to look into it and see what's up. Ty Harrington writes in for the final question of Gary Whitta's 2017 run on Kind of Funny Games.
This is
Daily.
It. This is my last appearance on Kind of Funny for 2017.
Right, yeah.
Because I don't think I'm coming back for anything else. This is it.
No, yeah, you're coming back in the end. I still think you should do the Game of the Year podcast with us in that first week of January.
But that's not until next year, right?
Yeah, yeah, of course. But we never. There's an email thread that I kind of walked away from and I didn't respond to. I think you should still do it.
Okay.
But you just got to agree with everything I say. Ty Harrington wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, gorgeous dudes, with Christmas coming up and a bunch of time set to be spent sitting on the sofa with my brother and sister, all back from uni for the holidays, we've been looking for some good local co-op or competitive games to play together. Gang Beasts, Rocket League, and the new WWE are all set up, but with horrible modern abandonment of local multiplayer, we've been struggling to think of anything else. Any suggestions? Love all the work you guys are doing. You keep me in the gym for long enough every day. Yeah, that's what he said. So thank you for keeping the lady naked with me. What the hell?
What does that mean?
I don't know. Love all the work you guys are doing. You keep me in the gym for long enough every day. So thank you for keeping the lady naked with me. I guess he's saying that he listens to us in the gym, which makes his body look good, which keeps his significant other around. Love you all and have a fantastic Christmas with you and your respective chickens, Ty. That was a journey, Ty. Game Beast Rocket League, great responses. We do a show on youtube.com/party. No, goddammit. youtube.com/kindoffunnygames called Party Mode, where we play a whole bunch of local stuff. So I think that's great.
I think he's right, though, that local multiplayer has been neglected in recent years.
By AAA, sure. 1,000%. I think indies picked up that torch a long time ago. And like, you have a thing now where, I mean, immediately, like Starwall, Game Beast already has. So Starwall, Towerfall, just weird wall games. Screen Sheet, I like a lot. Have you ever played Screen Sheet?
No, what is that?
We play it here. Screen Sheet is, it's split screen, first person shooting, right? Like GoldenEye or whatever.
Okay.
But the idea is everyone's invisible in the game. So to understand where somebody else is, you have to be screen cheating, which you used to always get mad at people in GoldenEye for doing. And so like levels are color coded. So like I'm in top right, but I'll glance over top left and be like, oh, he's in the purple hallway coming up on the orange thing. And I'll start just blindly shooting at that corridor.
Oh, so they encourage you to look at other people's quadrants?
Exactly. That's the only way to do it. Yeah. And you'll see like smoke trails off guns or like explosions. You're like, oh, they're engaging up there. So if I hang here and try to ricochet it off the
God,
wall.
I remember when we first had Doom 2 in the office, a PC gamer office in like the early 90s.
Yeah.
And the way that we used to LAN up the machines with the serial cable.
Yeah.
And the way that the machines were laid out, though, they were next to each other like that. So you could very easily like look over and see what your opponent was doing.
Yeah.
And so we erected like this bullshit fake cardboard wall between the two machines so that you couldn't peek and screen cheating. Is that what you call it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like that stick bowl dodgeball game we played at Extra Life. But yeah, Kevin, what am I forgetting for party modes that were good? Oh, Arena Gods. That was a really fun
one. What's the cooking game that you guys like?
Oh, Overcooked. Oh my God, yeah.
That's fun, right?
Yeah, get over it. That's stressful and
now,
crazy.
Is that fun? Can you have fun with that with just two players, or do you need more?
That's the way I prefer to play it. Because two players is like, back in the day, me and my best friend Poe, when I went home for Christmas, I bought him a PlayStation 4 and I got him that. And we sat there and played it. And then when the DLC dropped for one of the Extra Life or 24-hour streams, Colin and I played it. And when you have one partner, it's so easy to get into the, like, once you get the wheels rolling of like, all right, cool, I'm doing the burgers, you do that, all right, blah blah, I need tomatoes, but yeah, okay, dish ready to go, who's doing the dishes, I'm gonna do it. And like when Poe and I were doing it, trying to three-star everything, we'd like, it was like, of course, 2 a.m. it was such a throwback when you talk about split screen gaming, right?
Yeah,
to what we used to do in high school and grade school.
I'm gonna try it because my wife and I both enjoy playing Cooking Fever.
Okay.
Where you're just constantly, you know, filling orders, you know, lunch and dinner orders.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But to do that in a cooperative way, like on the couch, feels like it would be
well, the
a lot
best
of fun.
Part was like when we would fail and we'd get 2 stars or whatever, and we'd stop and have that moment of like, all right, what could we have done better? Like, all right, well, how about this? Just get the stuff and toss it on the floor to me, and I'll just run and get, you know, and it's like you come up with strategies and have a great time.
Is it just on PlayStation?
No, it's on everything. It's on Switch now, too.
Okay, I got
it's on
get
everything.
It.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, it's a great game. Overcooked is amazing as always.
Okay, perfect.
Time to squad up.
Oh, and also, sorry, just as one, I would also, I would definitely recommend all the Lego games. Ooh. Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2 just came out. Fantastic. They are two-player only, but tremendous co-op experiences. Great
good
games.
Point. Time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You give me your name, your username, your platform of choice, and why you need help in video games. I read it here. The best friends come and find you. Everyone plays together and has an amazing time. Alex needs help on Xbox One. His title is SSChamp09. So SSChamp09, all one word. Don't make the face, Kevin. I'm sure it doesn't mean it like that. I'm trying to complete the super Easter egg in Black Ops 3 Zombies, a task which requires you to complete all main Easter eggs from all of the maps, but need 3 other players to get the job done. I've sunk quite a bit of time into trying to complete some of the Easter eggs solo, but just can't seem to get the job done. Completing these Easter eggs requires quite a bit of coordination and communication, something you just can't find in matchmaking. I am looking for some best friends to join me in my quest to complete this monumental task, all for the sake of those sweet, sweet achievements. So if you are down to play Black Ops 3 Zombies with Alex on Xbox One, hit up SSChamp09, all one word. His last name starts with an S, Kevin. So I assume the middle name also has an S.
Oh, well, were you worried about like the SS part of that?
Yeah, that's what Kevin did the face. You know what I mean? I'm just putting it out there. All right, here, I got to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong now, find out what we screwed up. Remember, if you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, it's your job to keep us honest. Go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. Here we go.
What do you got?
Lord of Pwn says, I didn't hear Greg mention that Enter the Gungeon is out on Switch today. I did not mention that. I did not see that. Congratulations. Enter the Gungeon, great game as well.
And yeah, and one more Switch title.
They're on. Jams the Kuma says, as far as first party games confirmed for the Switch next year, we do have a new Kirby game and a new Yoshi game coming. I know that's not Mario or Zelda levels of big, but Nintendo has showed some of their plans for early
2018. And some of those games are great, like Yoshi's Woolly World.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Epic Yarn. Those were good games.
Yeah, yeah. Shermanator 92 says, for games released today, you missed Finding Paradise on Steam. It's the sequel to the criminally underrated To the Moon. Also 10% off until the 21st.
To the Moon is really good.
I don't remember To the Moon. Which
it's
one was
a,
that?
It's a very kind of, you know, very kind of old school 8-bit, top down, you know, advent, like a Zelda type adventure.
Okay.
But it's got a really beautiful, sweet little indie storyline to it. Really well done.
Okay. Lord of Pwns back and says, re the Nintendo Online plans and classic games. Quote, subscribers will get to download a compilation of classic titles with added online play, such as Super Mario Bros. 3, Balloon Fight, and Dr. Mario. Pricing is $3.99 a month, $7.99 for 3 months, or $20 for a year.
See, something as simple as taking Dr. Mario and just allowing that to be,
sure,
you know, online competitive, it shouldn't be too difficult.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. Yeah. James the Kuma also adds, Nintendo told Kotaku back in June, Nintendo Switch Online subscribers will have ongoing access to a library of classic games with added online play. Users can play as many games as they want, as often as they like, as long as they have an active subscription.
That's the promise, Nintendo
Let's
Flicks.
Let's see what they do. Let's see what they do, though, all right? All right, now everybody's just saying the same thing. That's just information. James the Kuma's back. Pokemon Crystal was the third version of the second generation of Pokemon games. It's an enhanced version of Pokemon Gold and Silver. It was released in the U.S. originally on July 20th, 2001 for Game Boy Color. More people are talking to me about this. Oh, here you go. Ignacio Rojas says, Gary, you're wrong. PC gaming sucks.
I'm going to leave you hanging on that one.
He fucking nails you on that one. Good job, Ignacio. Lords of Pwn corrects you as well. The new iMac Pro can have up to 18 cores. 16 is not an option.
Okay, yeah, all right.
The Waterman says, Destiny 2's The Dawning event will decorate the tower and the farm to make them look wintry and as if the people in the world are celebrating a holiday. As Greg said, you can have snowball fights. Even cooler, you can collect materials to craft gifts and give them to your friends / clanmates in the game. There's other stuff that I don't care about. You can go read about it. And then Ready Edgemont has more information there for a GDC build for Kevin. I'm sorry, a PC build for Kevin, but he mentioned GDC in there. It's weird. But you're afraid to pull the trigger. Is this the $30,000 one?
No, it's $4,000.
Okay.
Threadripper? Yes. Yeah? You don't even know what that is, do you?
Talking another language. Tomorrow, Tim Geddes will join me for the final Kind of Funny Games Daily for 2017, but this was Gary Witta's final for 2017.
This is it for me. This is a season wrap.
We will see you in 2018.
Yeah, of course you will.
We'll get closer and closer to your 1 year anniversary of working here. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every week, on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about before answering your questions, having a good time, and reading through anything you submitted to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. We will be back tomorrow with the final show. Remember, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, podcast services around the globe. But until then, it's been our pleasure to serve you.